Right now, though, as we get things rolling in this second hour, we want to look to the skies. A very big event coming up next week, and well, no stranger to these airwaves. He was here just yesterday with Don and Paul in the morning. Our friend Sean Latch from the Amera Astronomy Center at the University of Maine is here, and a guy who is, you're in demand, making the rounds everywhere, Sean.
Yeah, this week has been quite busy, to say the least.
So what is it that makes this upcoming eclipse such a special event here in America in particular?
Sure. So this is the first time since 1918 that the entire lower 48 states gets to see an eclipse all at the same time. So we've had eclipses, of course, that have passed through a portion of the U.S., but this one, the path of totality, starts over on the West Coast and all the way to the East Coast. So it starts over in Oregon, goes all the way through South Carolina. Now, you have to be in that 75-mile-wide strip to see it in totality, of course. And if you're on either side of that, then you see a partial solar eclipse, which is what will be seen here in Maine.
And all this possible because of a rare situation where, and I'm sure I'm oversimplifying this, but essentially the position of the sun and the moon, despite the fact that the sun is so much larger than the moon, but the mathematical distance is just perfect that it creates this opportunity and illusion, in a sense, of the moon covering the sun.
Yeah, Earth is just the right distance from the sun, and the moon is just the right distance away from the Earth, that the angular diameters of the two appear the same. Basically, the moon is 400 times smaller than the sun, but the sun is 400 times farther away. So when they get in the right alignment, it appears that the two are equal. And we have solar eclipses, of course, at new moon, which is what we'll have on Monday. And then there are lunar eclipses at full moon, when the moon passes through the Earth's shadow. So we get these two different types of eclipses. And we, even though we have full moon and new moon every month, the moon's orbit is tilted compared to the Earth's orbit. And so you have to have where the moon's orbit is crossing the Earth's orbit at a node for an eclipse to happen. So we get solar eclipses about every year and a half. But, you know, the positioning on Earth is different. So, for instance, this year it will be here in 2019. If you want to see a total solar eclipse, you'd have to go to Chile or Argentina. In 2024, for those of us who like the cold weather like we have here in Maine, we can go to Antarctica to see a total solar eclipse. But then in 2021, excuse me, in 2024, there is a path of totality that makes its way through Maine.
Ooh.
So April 8th of 2024, and it won't be total here in Bangor or Orono, but the path, the center line passes actually straight through Baxter State Park. So that'll be a good place to be.
And I read a social media message the other night from Neil deGrasse Tyson saying that, you know, we know all of this and we've predicted this for a long time because of science. Science actually does know some things.
Yeah, science tends to work, as we like to say.
Not everybody buys into it.
The whole bit with science is that it is based on observation, predictability, and repeatability. So, when things we do things in science because they're repeatable. We've known about eclipses for centuries, going as far back as even Stonehenge and before. Stonehenge actually was an observatory for eclipses, if you will. You would watch where the sun and moon would rise through the henges, the three-sided gates, and you could figure out when that node or crossing point would be and when you would have solar eclipses.
And, of course, those people who could predict those things in those times were believed to have some sort of special powers as well.
Yeah, at that time, you know, a lot of the folks who, astronomers were often sort of the advisors to kings and rulers. And sometimes it was good and sometimes not so good. So in China, for instance, there have been some recorded instances where if you were an astronomer for the emperor and you could predict eclipses accurately, you would get your weight in gold, which, of course, is kind of nice. The downside was if you failed to predict an eclipse, you would lose your head.
That's a downside, fairly significant downside.
So, but again, that hasn't happened recently, but that was in ancient China, and they did keep accurate records of eclipses, and that did happen at least in one ancient eclipse at that time.
We're talking with Sean Latch from the Amera Astronomy Center at the University of Maine. So for those people in that totality zone, what will it look like leading up to the total eclipse, and then what will they see?
So leading up to the total eclipse, they'll get a partial eclipse, basically. So they'll see what we see here, but it is those moments of totality that really are special. And I always tell folks, if you've never seen a total solar eclipse, you owe it to yourself to make sure you see one at least once during your lifetime. Once you do, it's something that really is almost undescribable. It's really special. The sky is a strange color. You don't get complete darkness, but you get twilight in 360 degrees. It almost looks like there's a hole in the sky the way the sun, the solar corona comes out from the sun. It just really is amazing. You'll see, you know, some of the brighter stars and planets. Birds and animals pay attention because the temperature drops. Winds tend to, you know, pick up a little bit. It's really an amazing thing. It's one of the most amazing things in all nature you'll ever see.
And where we are in the partial eclipse, is it still a good idea to use special glasses to look at it?
You have to. So the only time it's safe to look at a total solar eclipse of the sun is during totality, you know, when you can see that. So since we're outside the path, we only can see a partial, you need to wear special glasses or solar filters or do pinhole projection. The sun is no more powerful on a day of an eclipse, but humans tend not to stare at the sun. Unless there's a solar eclipse, then they want to see what's happening, and your eye doesn't have pain sensors, and you'll burn the retina, and that can do permanent damage. So I tell folks, we do want people to get out and view the eclipse, but please make sure you do so safely, because your eyes are too important for everyday life.
There are going to be some special events, several events coming up to talk about this and share more information with people. One of them going on tomorrow night at the Bangor Public Library.
Yeah, tomorrow night at 5:30, I'll be doing a special lecture for the library all about eclipses, talking about the conditions for eclipses, what people can expect to see, how to view them, some of their historical significance over time. And the library, we have a partnership. NASA has been getting solar eclipse glasses to libraries to give out. So we'll be giving out solar eclipse glasses free there tomorrow night. So if you can come out, it's a great time to get them. We'll also be doing viewing of the eclipse from 1 to 4 on Eclipse Day, which is Monday, the 21st, coming up here at the planetarium. And we'll have, basically, we'll have solar telescopes, we'll have eclipse glasses, we'll have pinhole projection, we'll basically have all the different safe ways to view the eclipse. Then we have our regular planetarium program for the month of August. The Friday night show is, of course, Totality, Exploring Eclipses. That takes a look at that. So we have that show Friday, and we'll be showing that twice on Monday as well at 10 and 11:30 a.m. So just prior to the eclipse, people can come and learn about it and then hopefully go and view it if the weather cooperates.
And you mentioned the history and historical significance. How have people viewed these events in the past?
Yeah, eclipses have been really something that has had a great effect on human history. There's been some wars that have started and stopped because of eclipses. It was something that early humans often feared and were afraid of, because darkness in the middle of the day, you know, people thought the world was coming to an end. Learning to predict them was again very important. And like you say, there were times when the people who could predict them were thought to be, you know, have special powers, or have magic, but it's really not magic. It's just a matter of, you know, learning the cycle and then keeping track of it. But yeah, people have paid, you know, significance to them, and not just solar eclipses, lunar eclipses too. There's a story about Christopher Columbus, who wasn't always necessarily the nicest of guys, and during one of his second voyages to the Americas, they ran out of food. And he had mistreated the Native Americans on his first visit, and they didn't want to help him. And he threatened to turn the moon to blood the next night if they didn't help him, because he knew there was a lunar eclipse. And sure enough, it turned deep reddish brown because it was a lunar eclipse. And they thought he was some kind of god and gave him all the food that he wanted. So he used it to his advantage, not in a nice way, of course. But so even lunar eclipses have, you know, over time been something. Now, most people see several lunar eclipses during their lifetime, because as the moon passes through the Earth's shadow, that's visible from half of the Earth at a time. With a solar eclipse, you have to be in that very special path. And that changes over time. There was a total solar eclipse. Last time it happened here in Maine was in 1963. So that's quite some time ago.
I vaguely remember that as a small child. And you're going to be heading, though, out to see it in totality. You're going out to Idaho.
Yeah, I'm headed to Idaho, trying to get to, of course, the best weather prospects, you might say. Mm. So that's why, you know, people ask, why are you going out to Idaho? Well, because, yeah, that's where the weather is supposed to be driest and clearest, typically, for the eclipse. So hoping to see it there.
And the path, it's not a straight line across America, right? It's sort of...
It kind of curves down a bit, yeah. It depends on the position of the sun, earth, and moon during that nodal crossing. So, it starts up in Oregon, and then it will finish in South Carolina. It sort of diagonally, crosses the United States. And the one that comes through Maine, too, it'll come through Maine and it'll go down through Mexico. So that will sort of be a different sort of angle. There's actually a crossing point in southern Illinois that's going to get two eclipses in a seven-year time period, which is really rare.
That's very cool. Now, these celestial events for all times have inspired people and left people in awe. This is a tough time in America, to say the least, these days. Is it too much to think that something like this can maybe bring people together a little bit and remind them that, we're all passengers on this pretty small planet in the middle of a very, very big universe?
Yeah, it's one of the things that we astronomers always hope will happen with these things. Totality is one of the most spectacular things you'll ever see. And some people actually will claim it's a very spiritual thing, so in terms of seeing it, because it really, especially in totality, again, the partial phases, they're nice, but it's not like seeing it in totality. This will be my fourth one, and I can say each one is special. And the one that I saw the last time I saw one was in 2006, and my wife was with me. And one of the things she's a psychologist, and she was on this trip with me, and she had to hear all these astronomers talk about how wonderful eclipses are. And by the end of the week, she was pretty sick of it. She's like, I know it's going to be kind of cool, but I don't think it's going to be all that. Well, the day of, I'm gonna get in trouble if she hears this. But the day of course, we went out and we were in Libya for the eclipse, and the partial phase is starting. She's like, "Oh, this is okay." And during totality, I looked over at her and she was crying, and I was like, "Are you okay?" And she's like, "Yeah, I just never imagined it would be so beautiful." So it really does affect people, and there have been people who once they see a total solar eclipse, then they want to go and see more, and they start to chase them. So I had to convince her to go to that one because of where it was located, of course. but that was before there was weird stuff happening in that part of the world. This year, when I said, hey, there's a total eclipse, do you want to go? And she's like, yeah. And she didn't even ask where. She's like, and she doesn't pay attention to where it's going on anymore. But after seeing one, she definitely wanted to see another.
But whether it's faith or whether it's science or whether it's a combination of the two that people believe in, it's such a wonderful event, and it brings all of the cosmic calculations together, and it's such a wonderful thing. And it, to me, it provides you with a sense of order in the universe when there often is none.
Yeah, I mean, that is the thing. I mean, a lot of folks think things in the sky are random. They really aren't. I mean, there are long patterns of some things, but really what we see in the sky is a very predictable, stable thing. That's why we've been able to predict these things for years. There's actually what they call a canon of eclipses. One of my friends at NASA Goddard, who's retired from there, Fred Espenak, he's written a whole canon that looks at eclipses going forward to, like 3000, the year 3000, as well as looking back at ones over time, because again, people have known about them and do predict them. And it is one of those things, I think it is special for people to think about that Earth is, this is another sense of, hopefully helping people, regardless of what side of the fence you might be on in terms of science, religion, whatever, that Earth is in a special place. Earth is the only place in our solar system that gets total solar eclipses. There are other planets that have moons, but those moons aren't the right distance where it will, cover the sun and have the same angular diameter. So Earth is a very special place for that. And I would think that regardless of what side of the fence you might come down on, that you'd think it makes sense to take care of our planet and preserve it. And that's something also I hope that when people see these wonderful events, they'll keep in mind as well.
Absolutely. So a prime viewing time for us in the Bangor area?
So the eclipse will start around 1:35 here in Bangor. Maximum coverage will be at 2:46 p.m., and then it will finish at 3:55 in the afternoon. And like I say, up at the planetarium, we'll have viewing from 1 to 4 o'clock, to help folks with that and to make sure that they view safely, which is also key.
Absolutely. Sounds great. Sean, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you so much for having me.
Have a wonderful trip to Idaho.
Thank you. I'm keeping my fingers crossed for that clear weather.
In fact, we'll do the same. Sean Lash from the Amera Astronomy Center.